with us, Dr. Yusri. I'm sure most of us know him and we've heard him. He's been to our church before. Who is a psychiatrist and had many years of experience. Psychotherapist and had many years experience in addiction. But now he is a general counselor, family counselor, and counsels many couples all over the United States and outside, and also teaches in theology schools around the country. So it's a great opportunity to have him with us. He's doing a lot of counseling and also education. So he's going to talk about something that's very important to everyone, whether single or married, which is premarital education and what's needed there. So it's good that we get to hear something like this from him, and he always welcomes questions or any personal advices afterwards.
I believe that marriage, which is a heavenly institution founded by God Himself in the Paradise of Eden, when He instituted holy matrimony, having a male and female together, Adam and Eve, and setting the example for human race to follow, that in marriage a man and a woman are joined together by God, becoming one body, not two anymore. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was incarnated and came to our world, He blessed this union that has become later on one of the seven sacraments of the Church, sacrament of holy matrimony. And added one more phrase saying, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And marriage actually is meant to be an expression of love in its highest phase and condition. Because love actually is God, as we know. And when we get into this nature of love through God, and we see how God, the three persons of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are not three gods, they are just one God. And we wonder all the time how the three are one and the one is three. Nobody can understand that. But we may have some thoughts and ideas about that when we know that love binds, joins together, love unites. And we can just imagine that love, which is God Himself, is about creation, communication and creation. Because God is actually a sort of energy, actually. It is the source of all energy. Because who created all this universe? It's God. And when God has created this universe, He created that for us to enjoy and to celebrate. Now we take this love to marriage and see how love makes the two one. We can't understand this love relationship between a man and woman except through God, because God is love. And that's how we can see the ideal marriage. The ideal marriage is about love, joining man and woman together into one. And if we can see that in a way, that resembles this Trinity, and we say in the Trinity we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, because they are love, and love joins, love unites. In marriage the same thing. When God joins Adam and Eve, a man and woman together, they become one. They become one. And when they become one, no one can separate. This is the energy of love. Our objective this evening, my dear brothers and sisters, is about the premarital educational topics. What should be known before getting married? What should be known? Of course, some of us are already married and have been married, and some of us are still unmarried. Some of us may be just thinking of getting married or even engaged. And some of us may say, well, it's too late now. No, it's never too late. We will try just to see together how we can improve our marriages, just assuming that we are not married yet, and how we can fix these things that are becoming kind of problems or obstacles or barriers in our relationships. Now you can see the selecting your spouse is the first slide that you have. Why do we get married? That's the first question. Why do we get married? Why? Do we need to get married? Yes. Yes. Big yes, we need to get married. And those who are not married because they are devoting their lives to serve God or for being monks or nuns, actually they get married in one sense or the other. But we get married in general because we need to love, and we need to communicate our love. That's why marriage without love is not marriage. It's a relationship. You can call it whatever. It's a physical union, could be. It's business type of marriage, could be. But it's not marriage according to God's plan and design. We need to get married because we need to love and to feel loved. We need to become one in each other and in the Holy Spirit. So when it comes to marriage, second thing here, we say marriage is the most serious decision in life. course. And they say just it's a Christian marriage. There is no divorce here. And assuming that you are living with someone for the rest of your life, well, what an adventure, what a risk. I mean, if marriages are going to be smooth and nurturing, they always say, well, this marriage is blessed. Because, you know, I mean, and say, well, praise the Lord, they are happy. This couple is happy with each other. Praise God. That's exactly what God has joined together. Sometimes marriages go through rough roads and tough times and challenges. And when we see a marriage that's not working well, sometimes we joke about that and we say, well, marriage is like the watermelon, you know. Just you don't know whether it's going to be sweet or not. Very unfortunate, you know. Marriage is a risk. When you get married, you take a risk in life. We know that. But life is a risk. Life in itself is a risk. So you cannot avoid taking risks. You cannot say, at one point, I'm not going to go and drive because someone who is drunk may hit me, kill me, something like that. We can't. We have to take risks. But they always say, when you take a risk, you always take a calculated risk. And you cannot take a risk without having God in your life. And that's the difference. When we talk about selecting your spouse, you always ask God and say, are you, God, helping me to find my spouse? If I am man, I will be just looking for my lost rib. Because God had already taken this rib away from me. If I am a young lady, I'm looking for the man to whom I belong. But who is going to join us together? It's God. And that's how you take the risk, when you know that God is going to be in this relationship. That's why we say, when we get married, or before we get married, we need to pray and we ask for God's direction and wisdom. When we select your spouse, there are so many questions. That's the third point that need to be answered. Many, many questions. And we will start by, what do you like to see in your spouse? What a young man would look for in a young lady? What a young lady would look for in a young man to fit? Because most of our selection is based on, I mean, some specifics, like age, like attractiveness, like background, like education, like spirituality, and so on. But what is the most ideal? There is nothing called ideal. There are very, very wide spectrum of variations when it comes to selecting your spouse. One of them is about culture and family. The other is about, say, are we allowed to get married to a foreigner, for example? I mean, what is the foreigner here? Actually, if we talk about ourselves like an ethnic group here called Copts, We are a very small minority here in this country. We are becoming the foreigners now. So sooner or later, we may find ourselves looking for appropriate spouses, Christians like us, in the community where we live. What about age and other differences? These are very important things, because from experience we see that when the age difference is so big, so wide, mentalities differ, and many problems may happen later on in life. And then we need to educate our young adults about all of that before selecting their spouses. Let us move to the following slide, making a decision. First thing we need to ask about selecting a spouse is it a love relationship or infatuation? And you know the difference. Infatuation is about physical attractiveness. Love is you love the whole person, not only one aspect in that person. And love might not start until, I mean, love in its full meaning, until later on after marriage. But at least there is this level of comfort within myself that makes me feel I can live with this person under the same ceiling for the rest of my life. And that's what's meant by the second point, the matching issue. Matching, which is can address these social issues, educational backgrounds, financial things, all these things. But we need always to consider selection of a spouse as one integrated subject. Third point is the balance between emotion and wisdom, because most of us follow their feelings, or what they call their gut feelings. And sometimes this is dangerous, because if we follow our feelings alone without taking our emotions to a higher level of good judgment or wisdom, thinking about our feelings, filtering them from any impurities, then the end result will be tough. We can make a wrong decision, you know? So we need always to have this balance between emotions and wisdom. Think. We are sure that most of us would fail, but we don't think efficiently or enough before making the decision. That's how we see ourselves sometimes, like impulsive. And this is very characteristic with young marriages, especially those who get married at age 18, 20, before they are mature up a little bit. Another question about dating and engagement. What do you think of dating and engagement? How long? What is the most ideal? These are questions that we are being asked all the time. Dating, engagement. I can tell you just from experience that those quick marriages that happen after a week or two or a month or two are very vulnerable marriages. Later on, they can break up, end up with disasters. Especially when the wife may have children and the husband leaves her alone, many problems happen. Take your time, not a very long time, not in unduly way, but take your time to think and to consider, to examine, to pray, to fast, and see what is the goodwill of God. How far they may go before marriages? That's another tough challenge. Young people are attracted to each other, and they sometimes go into damaging things, when the relationship will go into dangerous territories by taking the physical way or the sexual way. And by the way, just I tell you out of statistics, like those who have had sexual relationships before getting married, their marriages will be challenged later on. And many of these marriages fail. I'm not gonna scare you with giving you statistics this evening about that. But we need to be careful and warn young people and ask them for self-control until their marriage is blessed in church by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to break up before marriage, and this is a very healthy thing. I just heard His Holiness Sayyidina Pope Shenouda saying that to break up 1,000 engagements is much better than breaking up one marriage, which is very true, very true. Of course, there are some after effects after breaking up, yes, but such after effects should be seen in God's eyes. It's God's will that that marriage was not completed. It's for my good and for his or her good. Thank you, Lord, because you let us avoid a disaster that might have happened after marriage. Something that we need to learn before marriage about the sacrament of the holy matrimony, the biblical roots of marriage. We are very ignorant about these biblical roots, although the Bible is full of great examples and symbols about marriage. Many, many passages in the Old and in the New Testaments spoke about marriage. We need to understand the marriage as a sacrament, one of the seven holy sacraments in our church, and see the symbols in that sacrament. We need to study the liturgy of the holy matrimony, because it will tell us so many facts of how God would view this holy union between me and my spouse. I wish and I hope that we have sessions, special sessions, just to study this liturgy of holy matrimony with young people, even those who are not thinking of getting married yet, college students, I mean young adults and so on. Preparing for the wedding day is a big challenge for engaged people, especially these days. It's so stressful sometimes. It takes a lot of effort. And sometimes it may involve conflicts, especially when our parents are involved in this process of preparation. You know, the stress of the financial stress, the time factor, and many other things would lower the beauty or the grade of the beauty or diminish the beauty of celebration of our weddings on the wedding day. Importance of repentance and confession. There are no enough words to say that's very important, extremely important for the two engaged couple to go into repentance and confession before getting married. You know why many marriages fail these days? Because we go into this sacrament, we go to church, we celebrate, but we are not ready yet by repentance and confession. And of course, communion. We all care to have communion on our wedding days. Many of our weddings now happen during the Holy Liturgy, during the Mass. But many others, just once they get married, they become so lazy or unwilling to follow up with communion, because communion should be something to continue in life, as we shall see also later on. Christ and church, and this is the most beautiful thing in marriage, to keep the image of marriage in terms of Christ and church. If we follow the example of Christ and church in our marriages will stay very strong until the end. Believe that, please. Believe that. Christ, we need Christ there. And we need the church there. Because this is all about marriage. God could have created us only one gender. It's not about having children or procreation. It's about living heaven on earth. The love of Christ to church and the submission of church to her Lord Jesus Christ. Following slide is marriage is about commitment. Commitment is about three steps that we go through in marriage. First step is called the marriage agreement. We agree to get married. That's good. Unfortunately, many of us may stop at this level, marriage as an agreement. Yeah, we agreed to get married. What about the second level? It's a little bit higher. It's called a contract. And you know that we sign contracts in marriage. I mean, literally, we sign paper that we are married. And we get a marriage certificate. Right? Yeah. But what about this third level? This biblical level, spiritual level, that marriage is a covenant, which precedes all the other first two steps. Covenant, because you know, covenant is about what? Dying for the beloved. And this is the example that we saw in our Lord Jesus Christ through the new covenant that he has made. Covenant means that nothing will separate me from my spouse until the end. And there is something good that we hope to be introduced in the future in our church called the vows. And I heard from his Sayyid that our hope is Baba Sayyid Baba is now having some committee to study how to add the vows of marriage in the liturgy of holy matrimony for people who get married in North America, maybe Australia. And they are studying that at this point. Then, back to this commitment. Commitment is about love, loyalty and devotion, monogamy and fidelity, and no to divorce. That's something that we need to explain to our engaged people before they get married. Love, loyalty, devotion, monogamy, fidelity, and no to divorce. Very easy to understand, hard practice. Thing is about difference. Resolving difference. What do you expect from marriage? Do you expect that the other is exactly a similar copy or the identity like you? That's marriage. Marriage two different people, individuals together. Marriage is about these two people in love, and love here is the great catalyst. And when you have love between and connecting these two people, all these differences will never become problems. They stay differences. But with love and with understanding, with good communication, we can communicate these differences. Then we reach this level called integrating the differences. Integrating the differences means that we take advantage of these differences to become perfect in each other. I am not perfect. I have some virtues and some deficiencies. The same with my spouse. When we bring those virtues and deficiencies together, we integrate them together through the miracle of love. That's how we can see love works miraculously in marriage. But it's important to understand how to resolve conflicts in marriage. And this may need a special topic or session to learn the skills of resolving conflicts between me and my spouse. The last to understand here about the differences is the importance, or actually the very, very strong significance of forgiveness and forgetfulness. Sometimes I call it the bad memory, or the bad memory. When people just have very good memory, but for the bad things, never forget and never forgive. That's a big challenge in marital relationship all the time. And in this we need to be realistic, have together how to become happy with each other. Now we'll talk about major concerns and then come to first major concern is essential act. Like, money is the root of evil. And when there is in love with money, it means he cannot or she can worship two men. Problems start to happen. Intention then sharing, because before married we live in team and fancies and stuff, and that distracts the real relationship between me and my spouse. We need to know this. We need that there is nothing in my account and come with, and we have two different accounts. Budget about planning and budgeting, communicating differences, and avoiding this pathological spending which destroys also many marriages these days. Second big is about giving peace, you know, to leave. How to honor them too. I mean, when we our parents separation and it happened, and this is something that would become very challenging later on. If mother is in too close to me, I won't be able to function with my wife, if I am. If I am and I am strongly attached to my father, I won't be able to function with the way with husband later on. That's how we need to understand when we are asked to leave, we need to leave. But it doesn't matter, that mean that we are going to our peers, we are going to honor at the same. Being too close, living too close, is not good in all things. Physically and mentally and emotionally, we need to stay away from our parents, especially during the first few years. Living too far may be good, Especially when we feel like our parents are so much dependent, you know, unusually, pathologically dependent on us, their children. We need to wean from us. Master bedroom's confidentialist, we always warn young people, stay away from violating confidential things between you and spouse and passing these secrets to your parents. Of course, this can be very damaging to marriage. Financial dependence and independence is also an issue. We all need to be dependent financially from our peers as much as we can, unless it is a very unusual situation. Third challenge is about cleaving, which is intimacy. We need first teach our young people who are going to get married soon something about sexuality. Sexuality is pure in itself. All things are pure for the pure. All things are pure for the pure. It's not that sex is impure or is unclean. It's how I see that. If I see sex as God's creation, something like a blessing from God to enjoy, but to enjoy in the right way, then we can see sex sexuality as something holy and sacred if we use it according to God's plan and design. We need to understand all aspects of intimacy in marriage from a Christian view, Christian point of view. We need to know how to avoid being deceived by all the tricks of the devil. What God has joined together, not man separate. Those people who are open to sexual excesses out of way for marriage, slowly but surely they are destroying this holy union between and their houses. Studying gender difference, that's an area that needs to be studied in primary education. We know ourselves. I am male, I know all as about male or maleness. I am female, everything about femininity. But I need to understand what is meant by being a man or a woman. So we need that. We need to understand the act of gender differences on marriage. Because sometimes, I mean, things can be better and problems can be resolved or solved very easily if I understand that my spouse may have something that I never experienced before and I would never. She is female, I am a man. Premarital history also can be a problem or an issue, especially for those who had sex relationships before marriage. We need to handle this issue in a very, very wise way. It can cause many problems later on if we had any premarital activities in terms of being sexually active or lost virginity or something like that. Premarital mental conditions, because the church is us guiding and advising us that who have been suffering from a serious madness that they don't get married, better for them not to get married. Because the other part, if she would become aware later on after marriage that something was going on and he was not aware, she was not aware, he can ask for annulment of marriage. That's too bad. Problems in sexual function all can affect marriage. Sexual functioning, this sexual, what we call the sexual arousal, you know, intimacy, all these aspects of intimacy, because this can be, and they can carry so many problems later on in marriage. We need to resolve all these issues before we get married. And some dioceses now would recommend mental examination or personality testing and physical exam before marriage so that we say this couple is qualified, they are going to get married, rather be troubled. But most important here, when we talk about intimacy, we need to talk a little bit about this family altar. Family altar. Because, you know, couples learn it before going together. They are immune. Those who have the Bible, the word between themselves in the bedroom, where they go, are immune. So please remember, when we call intimacy doesn't mean that between, but it means making love is the source of love. It is God Himself. God is first thing. Communication is the most singular in marriage. When we don't have communication, no communication means marriage. Miscommunication, our marriage is injured. Nonverbal communication, we need to understand this version of language. Because many of us, or at least some of us, having all the communication with their spouses, but they can communicate in a different way. But we need to add each other, and we need to know how to interpret language. But one more aspect of communication is the boundaries. You never remove the boundaries between you and your spouse. When it comes to boundaries, means it's all about love and respect. And love, we should respect. Don't have respect to each other, then is not real. Thing here in communication is about trust issues. Trust. Lack of trust be like a nightmare in a relationship, especially for trusted person. Christ in marriage, from the first night, it's me and for household, God will worship God, God will stay in our home forever. Having and raising children, the godly way. One word, quick word about marriage and depression. Please, we need to teach ourselves and teach each other. If one spouse is depressed, this is no good. We need to address this issue. It affects the marriage, it affects the depressed person first and last, and also it affects the children. The same when one or the other is ill with something called an anxiety, worry all the time. Worry means that we don't have enough faith in our life. Worry means that we panic for any reason. We need to address these two serious issues in our life. The third one is, are you a perfect person in Christ, or are you a perfectionist according to human wisdom and human measures? Because there is a big difference between being perfect way and being a perfectionist, and you make the life of your spouse like hell, because it's very tough to live a perfect in the same home. And the relationship of love and church. Remember, marriage about starting a new church, the church in your home. And when we go to church, we are bringing all these churches to the house of the Lord in the fellowship of love. And then we can really enjoy the love of God, not only in our marriages, but everywhere, especially in our churches. Glory be to God, now and forever. Amen. And
anyone has a quick question? Maybe a quick question or two. But, you know, I think what Dr. Yusri said here is a textbook about premarital education. But for a lot of couples, maybe they might not have many of these points, but one of these points may be worth considering and looking at. Just one of these. If we have 90% of this, but 10% is not there, maybe there's something we need to look at. So every single point was said really needs a study, as Dr. Yusri said. It's a complete picture. So if you got any question about these are titles of good, strong subjects about marriage that may make you ask questions or read more about it. Opens your eyes to certain things. No quick questions. Okay. And Dr. Yusri is available in the next 2 days if anyone wants to take his advice or take a counseling session with him. Just let us know. Okay, let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
We thank you, our Lord Jesus Christ, for such a blessing to come to this holy place to learn from you how to become your children, how to be honest to you and to each other, and to how to live this pure life in holy matrimony, and how to become churches where we live at home. We know that life is so short, and it's meant to be for your glory, Lord, whether we live or we die, whether we get married or stay in our celibacy. Our life is yours. Our bodies are holy temples for your Holy Spirit. We are submitting our life before you, Lord, this evening, and ask you for your blessings and to be with us all days of our life through the intercessions of all your saints, Saint Mary and Saint Mark. Accept these prayers. Amen.
Finally, Lord, hear us and pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for in the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all. Servants' meeting will start in a few minutes.